This has been an interesting week. And some people can say that more than others. We've heard of various tragedies that has taken place. But there are some tragedies that take place in our lives and in the spiritual realm that doesn't make the news. Yeah. Everybody doesn't know about some of the things that we go through. But it's been interesting in that it's been, for me, both a restful week and yet a week of testing at the same time. Resting and testing. Amen? And of course, isn't that just like the devil? When you're trying to rest, he's trying to test. You're trying to rest, he's trying to mess. To mess with you and bother you and get you off balance and get you off course. And I begin to seek the Lord for a word. Listen at this, though, not just for you, but for me. I was seeking him for a word, and I knew you would just be the beneficiaries of that word along with me. So I began to seek the Lord for a, listen at this, for a word, not for the day, not for today, but a word for my life. A word for my life. Because I said it on last week, and it is true, that our anxiety level is rising. Just being anxious and worried and bothered and concerned about many things. And so many people's level of anxiety is going up. And so I begin to seek the Lord for a word. And as I was trying to rest, for the most part, you know, sometimes I would intentionally and positively and actively seeking, again, a word from the Lord. A word of comfort. A word of instruction. A word of that will give me the strength that I need to go on. A word of direction. And sometimes, listen to this, in seeking him for that word, I found myself being anxious because it seems like he wasn't talking. And I know when I get like that, okay, you're not where he wants you to be. He's not trying to make you anxious. So the Spirit will tell me, just rest. He'll give you the word. He'll give you the word. He'll give you what you need. And sometimes we want a word. Listen at this, and it's a good thing, but it can be a little negative. And this, that, notice I said, I'm seeking God for a word for my life. And if you understand that, because I said, not just for today, but I'm seeking a word from the Lord for my life. Now, that probably doesn't mean the past. I ain't seeking him for the past because it's gone and ain't nothing I can do about it. And I don't even need to try to do anything about it. I don't need to be concerned about it at all. It's gone. The only reason I need to look back is just to look back from where he brought me from. You know, you don't, the rear view mirror, you cannot drive effectively looking in the rear view mirror. It would become a distraction if you kept looking in the rearview mirror, because you're not going to see what's coming up. And so you don't want to spend too much time looking in the rearview mirror, and then you don't want to spend too much time trying to look too far ahead. You need to be in the, you need to live, we need to live in the present, in the now. So I said it was a good thing and it can be a bad thing in this sense. It's good to seek the Lord for a word for your life, but not if you're going to be anxious about your future. God is not into fortune telling. He's not. And yes, he will give you some words about your future for his name's sake. But he is not trying to give us a word for our future so we can get all concerned about the future and what's up ahead. Because listen at this, to a certain extent, he was just teaching me all of this as I was going along. Because I was saying, oh, it's a good thing. I'm seeking you for my life. He said, yeah, but that you ain't really concerned about your life. You're worried about your future. And he said, there's a difference. I don't want you worrying about your future. And yes, there are things that will happen in your future that I'm not going to tell you because it would mess you up. It can get you off track, be it good or bad. If he tells us some things about our future and it's not the way we want it to be, honey, we will get busy trying to work it out. And if he can tell us this is what's going to happen, and if we're not careful, we'll start trying to work against God to stop it from happening if we don't like it. Or if he tells us something about our future and we like it, we will try to fashion it and work on it and try to get it to hurry up and come now. We'll do everything but what he wants us to do, and that's to seek him for our daily bread. Because to seek God for your daily bread and ask for your daily bread is to live by faith. And we don't like living by faith. We like living by sight. But the Bible says we walk not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. And the Lord has a wonderful sense of humor, because in seeking him for a word, what's so interesting is that's all he gave me. A word. Oh, that's the meaning behind it, but honestly, I asked him for a word for my life. And I was seeking him for a word, and he gave me a word. I mean literally one word. And then said, now seek me for what it means. Amen. He said, seek me for what it means. And it came back to this, and this part almost has, well, it has everything to do with it, but nothing as it seems, because this is not the word that he gave me initially. But as I was going on and seeking him for the meaning, he said, I want you to understand that it is not hard. What I'm doing, what God says, what I'm doing, my program, my agenda is not very hard. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And what? Learn of me, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He said, it's not really, my agenda is not very hard. We know that if we want a word from the Lord, we look in his word. We read his word. We study his word. Amen. We seek to gain understanding of his word. And then the last thing is a simple word, obey. The answer to our anxiety, the Lord says, is my peace. And I give unto you my peace. I leave my peace, Jesus said to his disciples and to us. I give you my peace, not as the world gives. The answer to our anxiety is his peace. And the only way, Minister Turner, and I called her name because we've talked about this. There is no other way. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And the truth is, if we trusted him, we would obey. One reason we don't obey is because we don't trust and we don't take him at his word, good or bad. One reason we don't trust and we don't do the things that God wants us to do in terms of the positive is because we see them as a challenge. We see problems and God sees possibilities. Fear sees problems, faith sees possibilities. And one reason when it comes to good things that we don't pursue it and get what God wants us to get is because we don't believe he's really going to do what he said. But in another sense, one reason we disobey is because we don't believe that God is going to do what he said. What does that mean? Saints, we're going to have to give an account. So sometimes, especially if you've been taught grace, as you have been, sometimes we can get fancy free with grace. And God knew this. He understood that. That's why Paul put it in the scripture. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Is that what God's point was? Because we have grace that God, oh, go ahead and sin. It doesn't matter. Is that what God wants? He knew this. He knew that that's our way of thinking. That's why he put it in the word. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Just because we're his children doesn't mean we're not going to have to give an account. We are saints going to have to give an account for what we say. Every word, every idle word, everything we say, everything we do, everything we think. You cannot, saints, you cannot go about life doing what you want to do just because he's a gracious God and think you're not going to have to deal with the consequences of your actions. A sister came into the office this morning and prayed for me and said, the Lord said to trim your wick. And she didn't have to say any more because I knew what it meant. Because he had already been talking to me about, it's the same way of saying, lay aside the weights. Lay aside the weights and the sin that so what? Easily beset you. God, honestly, I love you, but you're going to have to give an account. That's what I heard the Lord say. I love you, but you're going to have to give an account. And you're going to have to learn the lessons that I want you to learn. You want peace so bad. That's what we want right now, saints. We want peace. We want peace. We want the peace of God. We don't want to be anxious. We don't want to be worried. We know we're not supposed to be, and we're lacking the peace of God. Why are we lacking the peace of God? And he said, because you will not, you cannot experience my peace and go off and do what you want to do. The moment you turn away from me, the moment you let go of my hand, you let go of my peace. And you wonder why you don't have peace. You let go of my hand. We were walking together in fellowship. We were enjoying fellowship. And you want to know what happened? I didn't move, God said. You moved. I didn't go anywhere. I'm still where I am. I'm still who I am. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But you moved. And you wonder why. Why am I so anxious? Why am I so worried? Why don't I have the peace of God? I'm a child of God. I know the word of God. All of that doesn't matter. You can read. You can get in his word. And you can read his word. And you can study his word. And you can get an understanding of his word. But if you don't obey, wow. And I saw them for a word and he went to talking. He went to talking and I, oh my God. He said, you want my peace? You want my peace? You want to enjoy my light? Trim your wick. You want to enjoy my light? Trim your wick. You know what I mean? Have you ever had a candle and it begin to burn and the wax begin to the wick begin to go down and get surrounded by all of the candle? That's what he said. You need to trim that. That's to trim the wick, is to get all of the excess wax out of the way so that the trim is up. and it's on top. So trim your wick and your light will be greater. Just obey me and you're going to experience my peace. I'm not trying to withhold it from you, says the Lord, but you got to trust me and you got to obey me. It's just, there is no other way. Yes, you know the word. Yes, you read the word. Yes, you got the understanding. But there's a problem. I have this one thing against you. You don't love me like you used to. How do I know you don't love me? If you love me, if this ain't law, this ain't about law. This is about fellowship. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Obeying me is an overflow and an outflow of your love for me. You don't love me like you used to. And I know you don't. You can say what you want, but I can look into your eyes and I can tell when you ain't looking at me. I can tell. Oh, you're not liking this, but God said a lover knows when he looks into his lover's eye and can tell when she ain't thinking about him. A lover knows when she looks into your eye, sir, and know you ain't thinking about me. God had this love conversation with Peter. When he restored him, do you love me more than these? And he kept asking him that is because he knew that Peter had some things in his life that he loved more than he loved God. And before the Holy Ghost, before he was filled with the Holy Ghost, more than anything else, he loved his life more. And since God is calling us to love him and to follow him even unto death and love not our lives. So the Lord said, you want my peace? Trim your wick. That was just a confirmation this morning. Just trim your wick. And the sister prayed for me and said, you know, I ain't read that. I got to go back and read that. I don't know why I said that, but I knew why he said it. He had already said it in different words. You need to trim your wick. You got to lay aside some weights. And the sins that are thus, I said that because what keeps happening is, I think about the fact that when I'm preaching this message, it's going to go on the internet, but I don't want to tell all our personal problems and our personal business what's going on. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to air our dirty laundry, but I can't. So what's going on, God? What's going on? He said, well, one of the things, let me explain this to you. He says, yes, you all are known as a word church. But I know something that everybody else doesn't know. You're not an obedient church. He was talking to us. Oh, you got the word. You're bishop and all. Oh, you got the word, but you're not an obedient church. That's where that you don't love me. Some of us love ourselves more than we love God. Last week we talked about repentance and forgiveness and that one right there. God is calling for more repentance and more forgiveness. Both of them. We've got to repent of some things and we've got to forgive people. But we think we have a right to hold on to to offenses. We think we have a right to remain angry with people. And God says, I'm sorry. You can do that if you want to. And because I've given you the ability to do that. But do understand, you forfeit my peace. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what. This ain't even necessary for you to be going through. You don't even have to be going through this. Oh, what needless pains we're what? Caring about. Oh, what needless worry and anxiety. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And he clearly says, when you are praying, when you stand praying, forgive. Don't come in my presence, the God of forgiveness, talking about you ain't gonna forgive. Talking about you believe in forgiveness, but you ain't gonna. You don't want my grace. Because if you really want my grace, you're gonna give it. If you really want my mercy, you're gonna give it. He said, "It's you're not an obedient church. That doesn't mean you don't obey at all. No, it doesn't mean that. But God is not looking for half obedience and partial obedience and three-fourths. I don't want you to go three-fourths of the way. All the way. Give it up. Oh, what needless pains we carry about. All because we won't take it to the Lord in prayer and yield it and give it to him. Can I tell you this one word that he gave me? By the way, all of that was the meaning. I gave you the meaning before I gave you the word. This was the one interesting word that he gave me. And that word was ask. A-S-K. Ask. Ask. And then he began to teach me about asking. And I've taught from this passage before. Luke chapter number 11, verse 9. We'll read verse 9 through 13. Luke chapter number 11, verse 9. The King James Version says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The New Living Translation says, and so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. And I'd never realized that that word ask was loaded with all of this. And so as the Lord began to unpack it for me, because it's packed, First, I didn't realize that what he just told us to do, what were the three verbs that he told us to do? Ask, seek, and knock. And if you take the first letter of each of those words, what does it spell? Ask. Ask, seek, and knock. I said, God, it's amazing how you can look at the word all this time, and I never saw that one word, ask. That's called an acrostic. You take the first letter of ask, and you get ask, seek, and knock. And so I say, Lord, what is it that, what are you saying? First, I'm impressed. Because I never saw that. I never saw that. And he began to explain to me that those words really are interchangeably. They are used, they can be used interchangeably. They are interchangeable, meaning if you ask and you seek and you knock, you're doing the same thing. Because the reason people knock on doors is because they're seeking something. And the reason people knock on doors is because they need to ask you something. So if you're asking, asking is a seeking. And asking is a form of knocking. But this is what the Lord said. Let's read a little bit more of that. So he says, that, and the door will be open unto you in the next verse. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give him a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I said, what are you saying, God? He says, when I said this, I'm saying, because to me, he changed the subject. Now, I'm talking about asking because it starts off in one chapter. It starts off, you have this same rendering of look, asking, seeking, and knocking. You have that in Luke, and you have it in Matthew. And in one of the verses, he says, they asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray like John taught his disciples. And so Jesus told them to pray like this, and he went on and talked about the model prayer, Our Father, and all of that. And so we thought the subject was asking, seeking, and knocking. And then the answer was, keep on seeking. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking, and you're going to receive what you asked for. Because we really do have this misunderstanding that prayer is about getting what I want from God. We think that's what prayer is, getting my needs met. No, that's included in prayer. But that's not the essence of prayer. The essence of prayer, saints, is fellowship. The essence of prayer is fellowship. Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. And he says, I'm inviting you to fellowship with me. I wasn't giving you a formula to get what you wanted or what you needed. Because that's why he says, now if you being evil men know how to give your children good gifts, how much more? Now in Matthew it says, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts? He knows how to give good gifts to his children. But in Luke here it says, if you being evil men know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does the Holy Spirit, does the Father know how to give you? How much more will the Holy Spirit, the Father give you the Holy Spirit? What was God saying? He said, I'm trying to teach you what to ask for. I'm trying to teach you what your greatest need is. Your greatest need is not food. Your greatest need is not clothing. Your greatest need is not something to drink. Your greatest need is me. So not only if you being evil men know how to give your children good gifts, he says, how much more does the Heavenly Father know how to give you the best gift? I won't just give you good gifts. I will give you the best gift. I'll give you me. And that's what I want you to seek. I don't want you to seek stuff. I know what you have need of before you ask. So if you seek first, primarily, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. What I want you to seek is me. He says, do I want you to have prayer meeting and come and bow? Yes. Yes. He said, Jesus did it. He pulled aside from everybody and prayed, kneeled and prayed. So I want you to do it. He said, my disciples had a time of prayer where they would come to the house of God. They would come to the place of worship and they would come at the hour of prayer. So they had a designated time where they spent time with God. But the Lord was saying to me, what I'm trying to do is get my people to understand, I want us to walk in fellowship. So he says, you're seeking things and you're seeking to get this and you're seeking to get that, and I'm trying to get you to seek me. And I don't want you to just seek me at the hour of prayer. I'm trying to get you to make your life an hour of prayer. I'm honestly trying to get you to learn to take me everywhere you go. I want to go with you when you get in your car. I want to be with you when you go to the store. I want you to ask me about everything in all thy ways. Acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. He says, the reason I told you to ask for daily bread is because what you want, again, he says, my children want me to give them an abundance so they don't have to keep coming to me and asking for it. He says, they want me to give them an abundance, and then they want to go off and walk and act like they're self-sufficient. And I'm not trying to give you too much, because if I give you too much, you'll forget me. He said, I told the children of Israel, now when I take you into the land of plenty, When I take you into this land, the land of promise, don't you forget who it is that gave you power to get wealth. I'm not trying to get you to start going off on your own and walking without me. Because if you walk without me, if you don't walk in the spirit, you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I don't want you to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to give you the best gift, which is the Holy Spirit. And then you'll walk in my character. I wish more saints were here to hear this. To the married people, God said, I want you, people, we don't understand. He says, I want to be with you. And I want you to daily invite me into your affairs. I want to be in constant fellowship with you. And I want you to be in constant fellowship with me. And sometimes married people think that there is God and then there's intimacy. And he says, no, you don't know real intimacy, husbands and wives, until you invite me into the bedroom. Who ever thought? See, he said carnal people are naked and ashamed. But spiritual people who are in right fellowship with me can be naked before me and unashamed. God says, I want to be a part of every area of your life. I want sweet fellowship. I want you to know real intimacy. And you'll know that I'm on the right path here when he says, because in Ephesians he says, husbands love your wives and wives love your church. Husband love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he tells the wives to submit to their husbands who are the head. And he says, and I'm telling you this because this is a mystery. He says, because a husband and wife is a picture of Christ and the church. And he says, and when a husband and wife operate the way they're supposed to operate, he says, they're actually witnessing and telling the world about Jesus. When they do it the right way. I'm just about finished. He says, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And he'll give the Holy Spirit. And so in seeking the Lord, so Lord, why did you say he'll give the Holy Spirit in one passage of Scripture and he'll give good gifts in the other passage of Scripture? He says, because I want you to understand, the Holy Spirit is the ultimate gift. The Holy Spirit is me, and I am the ultimate gift. And I told you, when you seek me and you get me, all of these other things are going to be added with it. So that's not a contradiction. Matthew didn't make a mistake and Luke made a mistake. No, they were coming from different perspectives because I was trying to teach them a lesson so that I could teach you a lesson. Get the best gift first, and then all the others will be added unto you. And Jesus said, I was your example of asking, seeking, and knocking. So what do you mean, Lord? He says, when I told you to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, now, even though, yes, I said it, and it is a direct command, at the same time, Because I gave you the power of choice, it's a request. He said it's both. Because when I looked up the word ask, of course it said things like to request, to make petition. But another definition was to desire. So he says, when I was telling you to come unto me, all ye that labor, even though it's a command, I was also telling you what the desire of my heart was. In essence, I want you to command. I want you to come to me. But I've given you a choice, and you don't have to. He said, and even my children, yes, first that is to the sinner, but it's also to my children, because my children have a tendency to come to me, get what they want, and then run off. Like the children of Israel. They get wealth and then think that they're the one who got it, and they start loving the wealth, and they start loving the creature more than the Creator. We start falling in love with the gifts instead of the giver. Anybody hearing this? That God wants his children to want him. He says, yes, I told you to ask, but before you ask, I asked. I'm the one who initiated this relationship. I told you to come unto me, but I also asked you to come unto me, and I've given you a choice, because you can come and you don't have to come, but you're going to suffer the consequences if you don't come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you don't come, you're going to be labored. You're going to be burdened down. If you don't come and learn of me, you're going to be ignorant. And where you are ignorant, the enemy is going to take advantage of you. Because knowledge of me is power over the enemy. But if you won't come and learn, you're going to be carrying burdens for nothing. He said, before I told you to ask, and before I asked you to ask, I asked. And before I told you to seek, I sought you. Remember, he told Israel, you were like a little baby left out there as an orphan. You were bloody and you were dirty and you were left. And I came and sought you. And I cleaned you up and I put beautiful clothing on you. And I adorn you. You do know the scripture says that he says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. So when I tell you to ask, I'm just telling you to do. I'm trying to show you how this thing is done. And that's what I came to do. Jesus says, I walked this earth to show you. I'm your example. If I ask, you ask. If I seek, you seek. He says, I'm telling you to be a knocker because I was a knocker. Remember, he said in the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And saints, remember, that was not a scripture, and that is not a scripture that we use to get sinners to come to Jesus. He was not talking to sinners. He was talking to his church. When he said to his church, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Jesus, wait a minute. I'm yours. I belong to you. Why are you knocking? Because through your willfulness, Through your selfishness, you have pushed me out to the porch. Yeah, that was a time. Remember, he said, you left your first love. See, that was a time that we were close, and you let me in every room of the house. But now you done put me on the porch. Because you'd rather have conversation with people in the world and y'all talk about stuff that you ain't got no business talking about. You'd rather watch movies that you know I won't watch with you. You'd rather listen to music that you know I ain't gonna listen to you with. Oh, don't get me wrong. He says, I'm there with you. You can't ever really put me out or put me away because I'm with you forever. But you can, by your willfulness, don't give me access. And don't forget, I'm God. I could kick the door down if I wanted to, but that's not the way I choose to do it. What did I tell you? What was the one word that I said God was seeking? When he was teaching them about prayer, he wasn't teaching them how to ask for stuff and how to just get stuff and get their needs met. He was trying to get what with them? Fellowship. Now watch this. Jesus says to his church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If a man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him. What is that? We'll break bread together. We'll fellowship together. God wants fellowship. And saints, it is not a good thing that Jesus said that. I stand at the door and knock. The truth is, by not obeying God, we have individually and corporately put Jesus on the porch. And it's according to how bad we fall. Now, I don't even know if it's the back porch or front porch, but we put him on the porch. We put him on the patio, and then, see, we want him to only come in when I want you to come in. And we want to invite him in so he can come in and give us some stuff to make our party good on the inside, and then we want to put him back on the patio. We treat him like a grill. We treat him like a grill. I come and I will use you and I get you to make something good for me, and then I'm gonna shut you and I'm gonna put you back there and I ain't gonna deal with you. And Jesus is saying, I'm not asking to. What I was initiating when I came to you, when I initiated this relationship, I wasn't asking to come and visit you. He said, I and my Father will come and make our abode. We're going to come and abide, and we're going to come and dwell. Oh, are y'all getting the analogy? Anybody getting this? Saints, old people and young people alike. Let's come back home here. Because the Lord said, you're word church, but you don't obey me. this people worship me with their lips. But their hearts are far from me. Why would you say that, God? He says, I can tell by the way you worship. There is no way a church should have the word that it has, and somebody still got to pump you up to worship. And see, when I make this statement, saints, we do grieve. Remember, Jesus says, how much more, if you being evil men know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Father give you the Holy Spirit, the best gift, so that we can have fellowship together. That's what I want. But you didn't want the same thing that I wanted. You wanted my stuff. But you didn't really want me. And saints, it's true of a lot of churches that you can't tell the church from the club. You can't tell the church from the club. What do you mean? The music sounds the same. And I'm not talking about the beat. He says the dance looks the same. Yeah. He says the dress. Is there such thing as a way holy women dress and unholy women? Is there a difference where it's supposed to be, but we've lost our way and we don't know it anymore? And I'm telling you something personal. I said, God, I'm tired of talking about it. I said, God, I'm tired of talking about it. He said, you can't get tired of talking about it. I mean, come on, sometimes as a pastor and as men, we have to bow our heads when some of you women come up here because, oh, y'all didn't hear me. And I said, God, I'm not going to talk about that anymore because that don't do anything but run them away. He says, then let them go because I want an obedient people. I want an obedient generation. I want a woman with some shamefacedness and some sobriety who'll pull up a shirt before she gets here. And if you have to question whether it's too low or not, you already know it is. And if you have to ask, is it too tight, you already know it is. I'm looking for some women who don't mind covering their nakedness. It's a shame when you can tell the spirit just left. There was a spirit of fellowship, but the spirit just left. Fellowship just left. Ichabod, when you walked up here because you were so fabulously fine and we could see all your stuff. And I know I'll never have a big church if I keep doing this. Hashim, I'll never have anything worth anything if I keep talking like this. We've talked about it in Bible study. One sister said, one reason certain women won't come, because they know you're going to point it out. And they don't want to hear that. And saints, I see, when I say the church doesn't look, the church looks like the world now, y'all start looking at other churches, but God said, you are no better than any other church. I'm on the outside knocking in of bountiful blessings. I'm on the outside knocking and trying to get in, and y'all won't have fellowship with me. You only want me to come in when you want some stuff. But you don't really want me. Got to know, it's people don't go into business to fail. People don't start a church and they want it to be empty. But I keep, Mother Banks told me when that time you talked about Jezebel, oh my God. And the Lord warned me, if you teach about this, get ready. Because if you expose her, And I appreciate you that some of you want to hear the word, because the truth is, the majority don't want to hear this. And when folks start acting a fool, you'll join them. You can say what you want about Pastor Christian. He gave you the word. You can say whatever else. Oh, I ain't been perfect, but you can say whatever else. I failed not to preach the whole counsel, the full counsel. And the truth is, saints, it would have been better if we had not heard it than to have heard it and not obeyed, because come on, he that knows the master's will and doeth it not shall be whipped with many stripes. He that knoweth not the master's will and didn't do it, he'll be whipped with a few stripes. But if we're children, the Father is going to discipline us one way or another. Sooner. The banks, you warned me. See, when you talked about that Jezebel spirit, once God revealed it to me, we've been trying to get rid of it ever since, and it still ain't gone. Oh, you have to know this devil. It ain't nothing but Satan. And he's like that man who had a demon when Jesus cast, the little boy had the demon. Before Jesus cast him out, and before the demon came out, what did he do? Start thrashing the boy about, trying to do as much damage as he was on his way out. Those of you who wasn't here, the title of my message was Ask. A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. And the Lord said, I wasn't trying to teach you to a method of how to get what you wanted from me. I was trying to teach you what to ask for. the most important gift. Ask for me. Seek my face. Knock on my door. What is that? It's just a sign of you. Knocking is a sign of your repetitive seeking. Your repetitive asking is getting louder. You know how you at somebody's house when you first go, you, but when you really want them and they ain't seem like they ain't hearing. So you intensify. God says, what I was doing is trying to teach you how to ask me. He said, remember, I said, if your children, if you being evil men know how to give your children good gifts, how much more does your Heavenly Father know how to do this? He was teaching us what to ask for. And yes, he does want us to ask for the things that we need. But the purpose is not so you can get what you want, but fellowship. Remember, he already said, I already know what you have need of before you ask. And if you seek me, then you're going to get these things. They're going to be added unto you. And he said, if a child asked for a piece of bread, his father wouldn't give him. You being a good father, even though you've been evil men, even you wouldn't give your son a snake if he asked for a piece of bread. This is what the Lord says about our asking. He said, not only am I trying to teach you what to ask for, I'm trying to teach you what not to ask for, and I'm trying to show you how a good father asks. I'm trying to show you the character of a good father. Not only does a good father know how to give good gifts, if the child asks for something that's not good for him. So remember, he said, if your child asks for bread, you wouldn't give him a serpent. But watch this. If he asks for a serpent, the father said, I won't give it to him because I know it's not good for him. And that's the way I am with my children. There are things that you ask for, but you think they're good, and you think they're something nice to play with, but I'm not going to give it to you because I know this is dangerous. A good father not only knows how to give good gifts, he knows how to withhold bad gifts, things that will hurt his children. Will you bow your heads with me?